Brother Alan Smith preaching King of Kings Camp Meeting, July 17th, 2003.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't God good to us? You know, as the brother was saying there, he'd been religious for a while. We've got a lady just got saved in our church, and she's 62 years old. We baptized her a couple of weeks ago, and she said when she was a young girl that she learned 500 Bible verses to get to go to camp free. She thought she had saved in lots of years, but she started coming to our church, oh, perhaps 3 or 4 years ago. Her and her husband moved down this way sometime. I don't know when for sure, but that she, 3 or 4 years ago, she started coming on and on. And I knew that it was making her mad when I'd preach. And I just couldn't help it. I mean, I pray for people and I just cry and pray. But when I get up and preach, that's over. I'm here to preach. I'm here to preach. I'm here to say what God said to me. And oh, she'd leave and all this kind of stuff. And she'd try to argue with me. Once you're saved, you always saved. All this kind of stuff. And I'd tell her scriptures. I'd just tear that up, Brother Danny. It'd just ruin her play party when I'd tell her about it. Anyway, she finally at home one night got born again on Tuesday night. Well, Wednesday night she come to church and she said, "Brother Alan, I really got saved last night." I said, "You really got saved?" She said, "I really got saved last night." She said, "I didn't know it could be like this. But I really got saved. I really got free from my sin." Said, "My husband said to me, 'I've got a new wife. You've never acted like this before.'" One day is all it took for him to say that. Got a new wife. Got a new life. What happened? Got a new life. You know, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Don't you? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Don't you want to live for it? Don't you want him to live inside of you? Lord, bless you for the offering tonight in the ministry of the Lord. We know that God has helped this camp meeting so greatly. You know, we've known Brother Wendell for a while, and we got involved a little bit on helping put it together up here. But brothers and sisters, it takes everybody working continually to keep it going. So I thank God that you're here tonight, and let's join together and let God move in our midst, because we can't do anything without Him. Without Him, we're nothing, as it says in John chapter 15. But with Him, guess what? He can do anything through us. Amen. Let's get into Scriptures tonight. If you would turn with me to John's Gospel in chapter 3. I'm going to read some real familiar verses to begin with here. We'll skip over after chapter 3 of John into Ephesians 6, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 8. But in John chapter 3, we'll begin reading in the third verse. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 3 in the third verse. Give me a moment to find it. Alright, in the third verse it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" He's blind, isn't he? "Nicodemus saith unto him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit.'" Now that's clear, isn't it? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse there, the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, right after the great exhortation to put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand. I want to stand, don't you? Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now to Romans chapter 8, if you would turn with me. Brother Tommy, I could use that glass of water. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings we cannot utter. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. According to whose will? According to the will of God. Amen. Let's pray for the church. Father, we ask right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless this house. Father, that sweet anointing would flow through us. God, in your mighty name we pray that every chain will be broken and every heart will be opened. Father, by the power of your Spirit's blood, help us, Lord, to yield unto you, that power and life would come flowing through. God, we pray that every heart, every soul, and every mind will be focused on the Word of God, that the power of your Spirit would flow, move and exalt the servant. Master, have your way. Let those well springs of life spring up inside of us, that we may abound more and more, day by day, in the power of your mind. We bind the hindrances of the enemy, and we pray that the sweet grace of God would have free course. In the mighty name of Jesus we ask. We praise you and we thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, by a shout of amen, how many of you been born again? Oh, doesn't that sound good? All right, one more time. How many have been born again? All right, how many have never been born again, but you're a believer? This should be pretty easy. This should be pretty easy. Amen. I believe tonight we're gathered in a Pentecostal assembly. Am I right? You know, I believe that Jesus left the Pentecostal church, and I'm not ashamed to preach Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed one bit. I'm not saying that there ain't anybody else saved, but I am saying this. You've got to be born again or you ain't going to heaven. If you're born again, you're on your way. I thank God for what the little sister sung a while ago. She said, I've got heaven as good as made. And if I'll abide in Christ and walk with Him and not get out of Jesus, that's 100% the truth. His blood is sufficient to save our souls. And His blood is my justification. If you're justified with God, it's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else but the blood. Not any prayer, not any works, not any miracle, not any action, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sanctified, He saves, He gives wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. Thank God for His mercy and His peace. If a man's born again, he's been transformed. To be born again, he explained to Nicodemus there that he must be born to the Spirit of God. This is not a mental thing. This is not an emotional thing. But this is a spiritual thing. And when you get that Spirit of God rolling inside of you, don't worry, the emotions will follow. Somebody might cry. Somebody might shout. Somebody might holler. Somebody might shake. But I want to tell you something, when the Holy Ghost comes in a powerful way, it's like putting powerful water pressure on a water hose. You never seen a firefighter, one of them, with a water hose, because there's too much pressure on that thing. It'll just whoop him all over the place if they turn that on. But you got two guys, maybe even three guys, out there holding the end of it down. And God's got more power than any power in the universe. And when He gets a hold of a man, he might shake, he might shout, he might cry, he might holler. Ain't no telling what might happen. But I'll tell you one thing for sure is going to happen. When God births a man again, he's going to be holy. There's not going to be any difference there, but he's going to be holy. He's going to be transformed by the power of God. It says he come to make them twain one new man. And that new man living inside of us is that creature created after our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It said he's created in holiness and true righteousness and holiness. Now, brothers and sisters, today, we live in a time when you just believe and be saved. But I've got news for you. It's more than just believing, Brother Gary. You've got to be born again. That believing is a step. That's a conception. But we must go on to a birth. Like many mothers who have failed to come under the birth, we have people in the churches today. They've got religious. Come to church long enough to know they shouldn't cuss in the church house. But you let them get hurt on the job, and they'll cuss like a sailor. I want to
tell you, when a child gets born again, that nature's gone. That nature's gone. And they've been transformed inside. The spiritual man's been changed. That spiritual man runs that body. I was a child of disobedience before I got saved. My mom and daddy, see, I come from the generation where they give you a whooping. I didn't realize I was telling my daughter that I was going to give her a spanking so many times. But she really done something one time. She don't do much. She's a good little girl. But I told her, I'm going to give you a whooping. And I wore her out. And she ran and asked her mama, said, what's the difference between a spanking and a whooping? Because I don't want a whooping no more. Now, brothers and sisters, I come from a generation like a lot of you did where daddy whooped you. I mean, where he whooped you. And you have respect for that man because he whooped it into you. I want to tell you, it says in the Bible, it says, spare it. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. He hateth his son. And it'll do today in these days of Dr. Spock. That devil, his own son, killed himself because he knew his daddy didn't love him. I want to tell you, if you love your child, you're going to discipline your child. I was raised right. I was raised going to church. I was raised going the right way. But I wasn't saved. I was just religious. I believed everything they said. I knew Jesus walked on the water. I knew that he parted that Red Sea. I knew Daniel was in the lion's den. I knew Jesus died and rose the third day. But I'll tell you what I didn't know. My heart needed a transformation by the power of God. And how that come about, Brother Gary, is I'd heard that gospel preached again and again. The seed was there. The water come and worked on my heart. But there was a day come when God began to hear the increase. And I repented for my sin. And that open the access that I might be born again, that the power of the Spirit might work inside of me, and I might be transformed, might be changed inside. I didn't know all that had happened to me, Brother Peterson, but I went into that truck the next morning. I unloading freight there, and I usually showed up to work with a real sour attitude. Foot taller than anybody else there, a lot bigger. Come find out they're afraid of me. I don't know what they're afraid of, but anyway. I come in that truck and I leaned against the wall. My boss come by and said, how are you, Alan? I said, my wife took me to church last night and I feel so much better. Oh, I feel so much better. Hallelujah. They wasn't afraid of me no more because the old man had got put away and the new man come in. They knew there's a new creature there. They knew there's a new life there. There's a little fellow about so tall come up and cussed me up one side and down the other. Had him a fit. I was thinking there, praise God, he needs to be saved. But guess what? There never was one thought about how far I could stretch his neck. I tell you, I kind of made him look like a goose if it'd been a year before. But I got born again. I got born again. And that thought wasn't there. I'd been changed and transformed by the power of life. Inside of us there's a soul. But inside of that there's a spirit. And that spirit I was born with was disobedience. But by the blood and the resurrection of Christ, he sent that Holy Ghost back. By the blood to justify me. And by that spirit to glorify me. And now I've been redeemed. Oh, glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's going to have to do some shouting for me. I'm getting happy, Brother Dave. Hallelujah. Got too much to preach on for Jake to run around too much. I got to finish this. I'll be in trouble. I've had a whooping before, ain't you? From the Lord. Brothers and sisters, stick with me. Are we in tune here? I mean, this thing ain't no believe thing. I mean, that ain't it. You don't drag them up here and quote Romans 10 and 9 and 10 to them. You know what it says? It says that man believeth with his heart unto righteousness and confesseth with his mouth unto salvation. Jesus said, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't believe in your heart, you guarantee that mouth will not confess salvation. You'd say things, you'd get up and say you're saved. But guess what happens in the tithe? Guess what happens when the lie gets to happen? What about the tax return? I knew when I got this message I was going to be in trouble at a few points, but I'll try to muddle my way through it. I want to tell you, it may be the American way to tax evade the government, but it's not Jesus' way. It's still stealing. It may be the American way to take advantage of every situation, every person you run across. But you know what Proverbs says? It says the buyer says it's not, and it's not. But when it goes away, he brags. He takes advantage. He takes advantage. He steals. He takes advantage of them, and it goes on. I tell you, if something's worth a dollar, give the man a dollar, and God's love will make it worth $2. If you just be right before God, if you be right before God, have no envy in your heart, have no strife in your heart, but let that new man live inside of you. When I got born again, before I got born again, a girl with a little old Datsun picked up. The thing was like a Joseph paint on it. It was a truck of many colors. It had the sides rusted out of it. It had about 160 some odd thousand miles. I had a toolbox full of duct tape and baling wire. That's all you need if you got a Datsun, is just duct tape and baling wire and lots of spare tires. Had 6 spare tires in the back. You know what that means? You see a guy that's got spare tires in the back stacked up, that man knows how to change flats. Just like Mary old Dottie's, Eddie Andrade's team there in the pit, I could throw a tire off and slap that booger on just in a minute. But when I was lost, brothers, what I'd do is I'd get so mad I'd kick and slobber and beat things. But when I got born again, I began to thank God that that little old tire had lasted so long, that it had gone so far. That little old pickup was just as good as any one of these Dodge Dually four-door diesel trucks. I'm not putting them down, but I'm telling you, godliness with contentment come into my heart, and I found great gain. I found Jesus alive. I found Him real. Can you say amen? You've experienced this too, haven't you? I'm preaching tonight a basic gospel message. But believe me, brothers and sisters, this message I'm preaching to you tonight has been stole from the church. It's been stole from the church. Hang on with me. I'm not done. I tell you, we have people. If we ever do get enough influence, somebody tells enough ghost stories, or they're in such dire situations where you get them drug up to the altar, they get there. Nobody really gets down and prays with them until they get prayed through. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot of them come that ain't no more serious than nothing. They come up to this altar to have God bring their wife back, or have God bring their husband back, or they come back up here to have God fix some kind of financial situation. I tell you, that's not what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in that full sacrifice. If somebody comes up here and that's all they want, you can guarantee they're not going to last 10 minutes in the battle. But when they come up here and they throw themselves down saying, God, I'm unworthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I repent of my sin, and there's no condition, Father. Just take me in. When you find somebody like that, you better watch out. They'll ought to be the ones that'll outshout you. They'll ought to be the ones that'll outpray you. They'll be the ones that'll outstick you, because they've determined in their heart that they're not after God for anything else but God. Help us, Jesus. Help us to go back. Help us to go back to the old path. Help us. Because they said of those Israelites, they said we would not go back. And because they would not go back, that way was made dark, according to Isaiah. Slippery and stumbling. You know, Isaiah prophesied at the same time that Jeremiah did. And he said that way was made slippery places. They had a stumbling block there. That stumbling block's Jesus. Just as we're talking to you tonight, if there's a person lost here in this building, unless God's opening their understanding to the Word of God and by the Spirit of God doing so, they can't really understand what we're saying. They might hear the English and understand English words, but it doesn't get any deeper than their mind. But if God's dealing down in their heart, then something different can happen. That power can reach down inside them. It says there in 2 Corinthians about verse 14, it says that the spiritual things, the Spirit of God, that spiritual things that's foolishness to the flesh. But guess what? It can't know it. It can't understand it. That's why we say lost people are blind. The God of this world is blind to their minds lest they see the glorious gospel of Christ. But brothers and sisters, if God begins to deal with them and they realize where they're at, they realize that they're lost and undone without God, then there's an absolute strength there to bring them to salvation. The choice is theirs. The choice is theirs. Do we have any hallelujahs? Okay, here's number two that I'm probably going to not get too many hollers over. But I love you anyway. I really do. I love you anyway. And if you'll please study this, I'll say by next year, when you come to camp meeting, you're going to be telling people Brother Allen is right. Today, most churches preach salvation like Santa Claus out on the float on the Christmas parade. And what they do is they got just a handful of candy, and they just throw it like that. Now, that's the way most people preach salvation. Just reach down there and grab it like that. No matter, no matter, no matter what you're doing, how you're living, all you got to do is just say, I'm saved. Jesus said that no man could come to the Father save the Spirit draw him. As the brother was saying earlier, that precious Holy Ghost, which is the power by which God made everything through Jesus Christ, reaches down and begins to deal in that heart. That man, no matter who they are, they cannot be saved. That's why that man with cancer thinks he's got time. He's going to die just any minute, going to die. I went and saw a man, he's 42 years old. They called me, said he's going to die any minute. I went up and saw him, he's sitting up in the bed, didn't look like a thing wrong with him. I began to preach to him about Jesus. Finally, he said to me, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. And one of his buddies come in, I was just a ball in my eyes out, and one of his buddies come in and he got ashamed of me. And I could see that, so I left. Well, about 2 days later, they called me again. Said, please, would you come back? I know you don't know us, and you don't know my family, but would you come back again? And I got back. That man was in a coma. I went in there and I prayed. He never gave any response. And brother, when I left, 20 minutes later, he's dead. He's in hell now because he thought he had plenty of time. But he didn't have plenty of time. When God reached down to him, he should have took that salvation. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But most people today tell their salvation like you can see him, like you want to. Just ask God to forgive you. But if we will for sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Oh, hallelujah. I told you that's number two. But I want you to study that with me. You go to a church like that? Have I just plowed you, Taylor? I did that because I love you. I want you to realize this is not no easy believism thing. This is a miracle working power to bring you to salvation. You are saved. You've been transformed. Ain't been a miracle happen. I want to tell you something about a miracle I got. Just this month, we went to the doctor. My wife had had a tumor for a while. And we went to the doctor. And they sewed that thing, and it's just as black as those monitors there. And the report, it was written out, said it most definitely is not benign. The doctor said that that's cancer. You're going to have surgery right away. Well, we asked the church to pray. My mom and dad, we just lost our sister to a fire not long ago. And didn't want to really spread the word because we didn't want to put them through anymore. So we began to pray. The church began to pray, and a lot of others began to pray. And we went up to this specialist, and he took his little monitor and he looked at that thing, and I could see through that, brothers. I could see through it. I've seen that just earlier, and guess what? It was black as it could be, but now I could see through it. He said, this ain't no cancer. He said, if that's a cancer, there's probably not 100 people in written history that it's ever been a cancer. We decided, well, get that thing out of there anyway. Took the thing out. It definitely wasn't cancer. Got the pathology report last Sunday. Brothers and sisters, God healed my pretty little wife right there of cancer. Some years ago, not long after I was saved, I was at work. My little boy, maybe about 6 years old at the time, called work, said, Daddy, Mama's bad sick. Come home. I thought, my goodness, it's got to be bad for him to call, and she wouldn't even call. So I told my boss, cut out of there. On my way home, I was just praying and then just a seeking, and I knew she'd had pneumonia, and I knew that she'd been sick, but I got home, and she'd went and painted a Sunday school room over at the Piercetown Church over there. That's where we was going at that time. And she had painted a Sunday school room, got too hot. And I come in the room there, and she's laying on the couch, and she's just as gray as death. I mean gray and black, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but her tongue was swollen coming out of her mouth. And I thought, oh God, surely you've kept her alive till I got home. And I fell down beside her, and we began to pray. And in 30 minutes, she was walking from one end of that trailer to the other. That night, we went to camp meeting and listened to Brother Lester preach. I want to tell you, he's still alive, but it's a miracle that brings you to life. It's not what Santa Claus just throws off and says, get saved, you're saved. He don't get a card from him saying, the devil, down to the devil, I'm saved. You get born again, and there ain't no devil. There ain't no devil. in there no more. I used to be the devil's child. I used to be crazy. I mean crazy. You may not want to admit it, but you were too. I was crazy with sin. But I got born again. And I got a sound mind. Brothers and sisters, hang on with me just a minute. We have today this supposed talk of demon-possessed Christians. There ain't no such thing. That's a lie. Ain't nobody born again demon-possessed. Somebody say, well, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? That's the flesh. If you're born again, that's the flesh. You get born again, that blood made you whole. That new man come in, and he has no more power over you. Yes, he'll lie, he'll talk, he'll roar. But he can't touch you until you begin to listen and you begin to be enticed of your own lust. And that lust enticing will conceive, and it'll bring forth sin, which brings forth death. Now, brothers and sisters, that's how it works. He cleaned me up, and if I fail him, it's my fault. I'm not going to yell at the devil and blame him. That's what Adam done back in the garden and Eve done. It's my fault if I fail. And if I don't make heaven, it's my fault, because he gave me that power and life when I was born again to go all the way. There's a time when men are appointed unto life eternal, and we should take heed when the conviction of God begins to move. It says in the scriptures that Esau was a profane person, and he had sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. And though he sought repentance carefully with tears, he found no place for it. There was no place for him to come back in and to receive salvation. I want to tell you, you need to thank God in humble reverence that you're born again. Well, Danny, I'd really not to get too tough tonight, but I am going to say this. It says, God hates the soul that loveth life. And you get these people that sit around and watch them kill one another all day long. That's the term for that TV, and just do like that. And no wonder this fat thing goes out. Woo! Don't worry, number three is faster. They love to watch somebody kill somebody. You know, when I got saved, I don't like that no more. I'm not happy with that. People carry on and say all kinds of things you want to, but my heart grieves if anybody dies without God. I don't care who they are. I love those Iraqi people. I'd like to see them get saved. Would you? Oh, that sounds good. Oh, that sounds good. Wouldn't you like to see them born again? I'll tell you one thing for sure. Wouldn't have to fight them if they got saved. Isn't that right? Wouldn't have to go to battle. We wouldn't need an army if everybody is Christian. But that's not how it's going to work. But I'll tell you this much for sure. The only reason the towers fail is because the church has stopped praying. The church has stopped praying. The church has got so small in America. I wonder how in the world we can still find her. This area here is supposed to be the most Christian area in the whole United States. And I'd like for you to take the population and count 1% that's saved. If you can do it, I thank God. But count to 2% and see if 2 out of 100 saved. Think about it. You might say, I don't know everybody. I want to say to you, you probably know everybody goes to church. And if people don't go to church, they're not saved. This isn't hard. I set that on. God got a hold of me that few months ago. And I realized Flippin's got 1,385 people. So I set out to realize that 13.8 people meant 1%. I couldn't come up with 1%. Been there 8 years. I can't find 1%. I can't find a 0.5%. I want to tell you, in the city limits of Flippin, there's a little sister right here born again, just sure as the world. She lives in there. And I know of about 4 of them. That's 5. That's not 0.5%. That's born again. I've been there 8 years. I know all the pastors and all the churches. Brothers and sisters, we're living in perilous times. We're living in times when you begin to wonder, how in the world, God, do you keep from sending judgment down on us from heaven above? As Uncle Jake sung earlier, America's forgot how to pray. But I want to tell you, when you get born again, you learn how to pray. My pastor did not drag me up there and say, now say this prayer with me. He knew when I was coming down that aisle, the that God got a hold of my heart and that God was telling me what was wrong. He didn't know what sins I committed, but he knew God had my number, and he knew that if God could save me, he knew he couldn't do anything but lay down there in front of me and cry that God would give me enough to go all the way, and it worked. Got up from there. Don't cuss no more. Don't hate no more. Don't lie no more. Don't watch that filthiness no more. Don't go after that mess no more. Got born again. All that eyes got changed. I began to see things differently. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. Joy sprung up in my heart. By the power of His Spirit, I've become a new creature. Are you with me? Since then, I found out what Romans chapter 7 means. It's the warfare. It's the fight. In us. The fight in us. Now, brothers and sisters, why is it that Paul in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, as he's talking there about our warfare, is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, principalities, and powers? And then it finishes up like this. It says, in those verses that are talking about it, it says, bringing every thought unto obedience. And after it's brought in, ready to revenge every thought. Why is it in Ephesians 6, all this armor we got here, all of it, is defensive but one piece? And that's the sword, the Word of God. That's because the warfare's in here. If I get me right, then God can flow out of me to help somebody else. The battle's inside of me. Paul said, that I would, I do not. And that I would not, that I do. For I find a law in my body, in my members. He said, I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's still in us, brothers and sisters. Maybe we can finish up. But when you get saved, that flesh is crucified with Christ. That spirit mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Romans 8. There in Romans 7, going back, I know in me dwelleth no good thing. That is in my flesh. That flesh nature, if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will sin. What it says there, it goes right on in Galatians 5 where that's at. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you can't do the things that you do. That's verse 16 and 17. Brothers and sisters, that's what the problem is. Every day you get up, you got a warfare. You can yell at the devil if you want to, but the problem's the flesh. You get the flesh under control, the devil don't have any place there. I got born again, and somehow or another, I didn't get any more than you did, but I guess I'm just enough baby that God got to put me in the incubator and protect me in such a way that I didn't face certain things for a few days. But I want to tell you, for a few days, I didn't even remember sin. And when I began to be tempted and tried, I felt like the awfulest, nastiest thing there ever was around. I mean, that thought had come in, and I'd been crying to God, repent and carry on, tell God how unworthy. Oh, just, I mean, terrible. I got to the place, I so wore down with that, I thought, my goodness, how can you possibly love me for 2 weeks straight? It was a solid swear word in my mind, how he tried to come against me. When a swear word had come in, I'd praise God and ask Him to forgive me for it being there. And I'd keep fighting against it, fighting with it. I mean, 2 weeks went by, didn't sleep much at all. I was fasting, trying to get rid of that. And suddenly, the power of God got a hold of me. And He broke that. And I've never had it since then. I want to tell you something, church. That flesh loves this world. It loves sin. And that man is still in you. If you yield to it, you're going to die. You're going to die. That's where the warfare's at tonight. Is that we must get rid of the flesh. The flesh. The devil no longer has power over us. We've been born again. If you've been born again, Satan cannot run your life. What happens when you fail God is your flesh comes up. You begin to walk in the flesh. Oh, brother. Brother, don't be telling this, because you just took my escape goat out. You just You just took my excuse away. Well, I tell you what, you better be happy you're naked here and not in judgment. Because there comes a time you stand before God and we'll be responsible for the deeds done in our body. Did you hear that? I mean, you commit a sin and say, oh, that devil, he tricked me. We're going to stop him next week. You ain't going to stop nothing. Till you get back where the Spirit of God's living in you, you're not going to have victory. I've had people tell me all kinds of weird things. You get to be a pastor, and I worked with the Fellowship and Association. I mean, I run into everything. I just hate to even bring some of it up, but I am going to bring this up. One person said to me, they said, now, brother, you know that it just don't matter what people do in life. The blood has set us free, and it just grace carries us through, so you shouldn't preach us astray. I thought, my friend, when I got born again, I got free from that flesh that you're walking in, and it does mean a straight way. Jesus said this path is straight, and there's few that enter in there. The church is who he come to, and there wasn't but a half a dozen or so of those got saved. I want to tell you, friends and neighbors, he said in the times of Noah, and the times of Lot is how it was. When it happened then, it's going to happen again when it comes back. 8 people out of a billion in Noah's blood come out of that thing. 3 people out of a million out of the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. How do I know this? The archaeologists have proved where it's at. The fire that come from the east and it run to the west. They found rocks that have melted. It's up to 9,000 degrees, that fire that come down on that valley. Hey, archaeologists have studied that out, that city. At least 1 million in Sodom and Gomorrah, and 3 people got away. Don't tell me half of America saved. If half of America was saved, we wouldn't need police officers. It'd be nearly the millennium now. One born again person. You get one mom or daddy saved, that house, I mean, there's a whooping coming on that place. Hey, come in. That little lady got saved the other day. She said, my husband said, I got a new wife. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, the Spirit worketh deep things. He knew what was in that man's heart. I'd never seen this man, but he knew what is in his heart. He knew what plow his taters. His family come one time, had a little girl, felt like my little girl right now, had a little girl. And during that message, I could see that little girl. God was working on it. And I mean, she was just a squirming back and forth and sideways. I thought, well, what's the deal? She ain't got enough dress on or what? Now, I don't preach much about clothes, but when they get in there and I begin to preach, you can guarantee that skirt's going to the knees, because they'll do this, you know. God's telling them you're naked. I'm scratching just like an old bull in the pasture. I'm telling you, I ain't got none of this written down. If I did, I ain't up there to read it. But you know what? Her mama come by, never seen him before. Just moved in the country. Mama come by, shook my hand. Little girls like this didn't come to home. She, the mama, looks at me and says, my daughter says you have our house bug. Said, you know everything that's happened this week. You heard it all. I hadn't heard nothing, didn't know who they were. But God knows who they were. God knows who they were. God knows all about them. That little gal, she came 2 weeks later in that altar praying with everything she had. I could see it. Her countenance was beginning to lift. I just about had me a spell. About that time, both of mama's hands got her like this and pulled her right up out of that altar and spoke 2 or 3 words to her and led her right back to her seat. I felt it die inside of me. I could have just fell over right there, not took another breath. I thought, oh God, we've lost one. She was coming in. As she was coming in, I could just see it happening. That same mama, I run into her 2 years ago. Little girl done growed up and graduated, living so deep in sin that mama's ashamed of her. I told her, I said, you should have brought her back to church. You should have brought her back to the house of God. You should have let her get saved. That little girl, she could be in this service tonight, but tonight she's living in sin on her way to hell. Missed that appointment. Missed that appointment. Oh, Jesus, help us to realize the awesome responsibility of the church. The awesome responsibility of the church. This thing is a spiritual way. Okay.
I get past 4 hours, somebody pulled her watch. Eustace slipped and fell out that window. He went to sleep. You know, Eustace wasn't full of Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody full of Holy Ghost to sleep on Paul. Yeah, I don't care if it was preaching all night long. Ain't nobody full of the Holy Ghost gonna fall out on Paul. You might fall out on me, but I'm not old Paul. That ain't gonna happen. You let that river come in here. I'll sit down, shut up, maybe roll around the floor a little bit while he's talking, because there's some life in him. Oh, Eutychus, he wasn't paying attention. Brothers and sisters, let's hold our mind on Jesus. This thing is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not carnal one bit. It's spiritual. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time when church has become a social society, a ritual that we perform day by day. I got to go to church or I'm going to hell. I've got news for you already. You're on your way. There's no hope already. Your desires for the house of God and because the love that because I love my Jesus. I come to the church house because I love my Jesus. We got all kinds of programs today. These programs, you send out people to see people that don't come to church for a while. You don't need a program. And people need to get born again. Nobody has to ask me to come to church. When church is open, I'll be there. As a matter of fact, when a fella gets on fire, he'll be up there gnawing on the door trying to get another service started. I tell you, I like preaching to you. Because somebody's got to be on fire to drag out here in the middle of this hot weather, out here in the bushes, to hear some knothead like me. You've got to really want to hear from God to come and do this. But I want to tell you, that nature does that inside of you. That alcoholic will go to the liquor store if he has to drive all the way to the next state. That drug addict will do whatever he's got to do, sell his mom and dad his furniture, steal, do a kill or whatever to fulfill his habit. And a Christian will come to church. A Sunday morning social ain't going to go. They be coming the next Sunday morning wondering why the pastor ain't unlocked the door. I've got to hurry. I can go within 100 miles of here and I can buy you videotapes. And on those videotapes, it'll have a big old title there. What it'll say is how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, there might be a great preacher preach on that sometime, and it be in line. Let me tell you what's on that videotape. They're going to get you down, they're going to tell you, they're going to ask you, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? You're going to go, And they're going to say, well, do you believe he rose from the dead? They're going to believe, do you believe that you're saved? Of course, just like 80% of the rest of Americans, it's all kind of sin going in their life. But yeah, they're saved. You know, I go from house to house knocking on doors. And they meet me at the door, got some kind of pornography on the television. I come in, sit down. I say, I'm pastor at so-and-so church. That gets shut off real quick. That beer gets hid behind the sofa. You know that? You know, you can't convince anybody lost that drinking's wrong, but they get saved. You can't convince anybody saved that drinking's right. That's the truth, ain't it? They get saved, they know drinking's wrong. But you get that tape, put that tape in there, and they'll tell you, oh, it's already in you. Just look at me and say this with you. It'll look at you like that. That is a spirit, all right. That is a spirit. You keep that up, you're going to get something, all right. But you'll get something that you wish to God you'd never got. This Bible says they'd been there 10 days praying and seeking God after Jesus had left them and tarrying and waiting for them till they were endued with power from on high. Ain't nobody know they're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I got these little loafers. They had them on sale, Brother Danny. Got to be the worst shoes ever owned in my life. I think regular price was $80. I got them for 19 something. I'll tell you, shouldn't pay that. They're the worst shoes I ever had in my life. But they got the tongues in them. They'd have to check them. You get saved, you get born again, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. You run into it today. Oh, you got to have this prayer language. And they'll start rattling. Don't they realize that the flesh is an abomination to God? Don't they realize that this Holy Ghost is the ointment of the apothecary? And they said that you're not to put that on flesh. If anyone did, they'd have been cut off from the congregation. Ain't no wonder Boy, I almost fell. Let me back up just a second.
Ain't no wonder the new way. Who'll get their kids up and tell them to sing a song, now sing in tongues. You can't tell them that they're naked. You can't tell them that they're in sin when they're doing drugs. You can't tell them they're lost when they're sitting there watching that R-rated movie.
Oh, brother, I'm old time. As a man, I'm just 42. Yeah, I'm still 42. I'll be 43 in a little bit.
I'm still just 42. Man told me I should have died 40 years ago. That only gave me 2 years to preach, brother. I'm glad I didn't die. I've got the opportunity to go on. I'm old time. I believe Christians ought to watch what they do. I believe they ought not watch what the world does. I don't think I need country music to give me worship. I don't think I need rock and roll to draw the children in. I think my child gets saved, he'll come and he'll love Amazing Grace in that old style hymn just like I do. Because he's going to get that creature I got. Hallelujah! He's going to get that creature I got. He's going to get Jesus, that creature I got. That new man. I don't need the rock and roll. I had this card sent to me. Had this woman in this clown face. She was like this. I'm like, wow, you look like a homosexual. And I read the bottom of that, it said, ministry for the Lord, mimes for the Lord. I thought, are you kidding me? You think you represent God dressed up like a clown and not saying a word? Isaiah said, cry aloud and spare not. Show my people their sin. Ezekiel, he told Ezekiel, show them the pattern and form of the house, and if they're at all ashamed, then show them the measurement of the house. This thing is not a clown's work. We're representatives of the King of all glory. He's not a clown. He's not a clown. He deserves reverence. Reverence. People say thousands get saved. Show me one. Show me one. You show me a little old kid that still ain't dressed. You can show me one to run around in a bikini. Oh, brother, sister, I didn't mean to preach so many clothes tonight, but somebody's got to say something. I mean, you take them, them same little kids claim got to say, you just watch them. They still commit adultery before they get married. They're still having sex before they get married. You don't get them saved, tell you what you're going to wind up doing. You're going to wind up with a child that's full of sin. They got to get saved, whether it's my child or your child. My children who get saved, brother, they commit the same works as a person's lost child. And a lost person's child gets saved, they don't have to commit the works of their father. They don't have to do what they do out there. This generational bull is worthless. I want to tell you, friends, if your mom and daddy were alcoholics, it does give you a tendency to drink beer. But if you get born again, you're not an alcoholic. Don't listen to that mess. There is none of that. You're a new creature. If you were a drug addict when you got saved, you got free from the drugs. And if you didn't get free, it's because you didn't get saved. When you really get saved, you get free. Oh, thank God. Boy. All right. You help me. You go up here at this little place, you buy your tape. It says, learn how to dance in the Spirit. Learn how to dance in the Spirit. You get this thing, and I mean they've got it going on. You ever seen them poetic dancers? I mean, it's sad. I'm glad you ain't, because you might lose your lunch. I mean, they're running around them tutus in the middle of church, and they're throwing their legs up above their heads, and they're spinning and twirling and waving them hands like that. That's the greatest bunch of Middle Eastern and Eastern, all this other witchcraft that come out of Hinduism, Buddhism, all of that other mess, all that reincarnation stuff. You just watch it. Them Orientals dance just like that, and that's where that come from. Is to bring that Eastern mythological religion in. All of it's trying to bring in one church. They say the Catholic Church has got filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got news. As long as they're praying to Mary, they'll never be full of the Holy Ghost. Never be full of the Holy Ghost. They'll never be saved as long as they've got idolatry in there. Somebody would say, you're a brave preacher to preach against Catholics. I want to tell you, I'm a born-again preacher. I'm a born-again preacher, and I love them. I want to see them get saved. I want to see the chains broke off. Mary was Pentecost, not Catholic. She was in the upper room. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. You can go down here. You can get a book and it says 7 steps to healing. But then they got a backup volume. That's volume 1. 7 steps to healing. It's 7 steps how to keep you healed. Now what if you die before you get all 14 steps in? Jesus is my healing. And Jesus is how I keep my healing. He said, go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. That's how I keep my healing, is abiding in Christ. You can find all kinds of things today claim to be the Holy Ghost. But brothers and sisters, there's only one Holy Ghost. And John 14 and 26 said it come that leads us all things to lead and guide us into all truth. That's what it come for, to guide us in depth of His will. If I get this service, when I leave here, I felt enough of the Spirit to know that on my way home, God's going to be rubbing on my head and telling me more about Jesus. It's going to increase me more in Him. That's what the Holy Ghost come for. He didn't come to do all kinds of this nonsense like we got today. Make gold fall out of the ceiling. God's got plenty of gold, church. He don't need no gold. Did you know that's illegal? Did you know that? It's illegal to have gold that is unaccounted for in America. That's called fraud. Tax evasion. And the U.S. Treasury will come and arrest you for that. God's not a lawbreaker. They got feathers falling out of the ceiling. Say they're angel feathers. I tell you what, I wasn't informed that angels had feathers. Are you? I mean, I've read this thing cover to cover. It's got so much hand oil on you can't hardly see some of the words. I ain't found it yet. I tell you, I didn't know they had wings, let alone feathers. I read where the cherubims and the seraphims and the Zoa. I read where 2 devil women in 1 chapter of the Old Testament had wings. But I ain't never found no angel with wings. I found them down here ministering. People thought they was men. I wonder what happened to the wings. Now how is it that God's sending feathers out of the ceiling? Just an ounce of common sense will do away with a whole lot of nonsense. Boy, I thought the pastor was going to be number 3. I'm sorry if I've done hurt you play pretty. But I'll tell you, I ain't got no women angels in my house with feathers and wings. Because they don't look like that. Ooh, Brother Wendell. Think of that. If I get out of the Scripture, come see me. But if I'm in the Scripture, God's come see you. Hang on with me a minute, boy. All right, they've got prayer. It's weird. You come have a prayer meeting. I don't know how many of you have seen this kind of stuff. This sure ain't how I learned how to pray. You go into prayer meeting. We bind the Lord. We bind the South. We bind all of it. Well, we do all of it. We dismiss for assignments. I want to tell you, if man can dismiss the devil, we didn't need Jesus. But where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name, there is He in the midst. And when He shows up, devils go running and hopping, trying to get away. The church, the assembly of the firstborn, when she gathers together and begins to pray. I learned how to pray by the Spirit of God. And if you pray to God, you'll learn how to pray by the Spirit of God. You don't get a book of prayer, a book of Mormon, or a book of Catholicism. You get a book called the Bible, and that will guide you into all truth by the power of the Spirit you were birthed in. They can have all this mess if they want to. They use every coincidence to try to claim it's a miracle. But I want to tell you, church, that Jesus come along. I had one of them tell me. They said, I had a cold and God healed me. I said, great, how did it happen? They said, well, about 2 weeks ago it started. Had the office fever and carry on. But I got up this morning and God healed me. 2 weeks, son? Usually it just takes me 8 or 10 days. And the natural center, too. It only takes 8 or 10 days to get rid of the cold. And here you got this nut running around. God does a miracle after 2 weeks of having a cold. Well, I just didn't know we were going to grow water this deep. But I want you to think with me for a minute. You get some people, and you get them vegetarians, and they talk about, oh, you're going to be healthier, all this is good for you. They're sold on. You can't do nothing with them. Well, that's how this new wave is now today. They're standing there saying, you're healed, green snot running out. You know, you're healed, having a heart attack. They're yelling, you're healed, just don't confess it. How are you going to keep confessing a heart that's busting open? You need the power of the Spirit of God to heal you. To heal you. Brother Leo died. You go to Brother Leo's die. Amen. Brother Leo died. I was in service with him up on the mountain one time, the house of prayer. And here comes Sister Bowen in. Brother Harold Bowen's Little Rock. They called the house. She was about to leave home to go see him. He was a bad chick. They called the house and said, you better get here now. He's about to die. Well, rather than making the two-hour trip, the two-and-a-half-hour trip to Little Rock, she made the 15-minute drive to the house of prayer. Come in the door, told Brother Leo, I want to tell you the Spirit of God began to move. Next 20 minutes, the Holy Ghost was on that church, and they were praying. She left after that, but guess what happened? I seen Harold Bowen Monday morning walking through Hastings. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You need the Spirit of God. A reality church. Okay, here's the message. That was just the foundation. Here's the message. Have you ever heard anybody praying through? Have you? I heard somebody say yes. How about it one more time? You yell yes if you've heard. Have you ever heard anybody praying through? Okay, now I ain't just talking about praying through to salvation. I've done that. How about you? Amen. And I mean, you know you prayed through, because when you got on that other side, something happened. Amen? Is this spiritual church? Well, you know, there was a time not too long ago, which Uncle Jake can remember, Brother Self can remember. You're too young, Brother Stone. You can. You can remember it. You can remember, brothers, that the church used to always preach about praying through until you got the victory, Brother Peterson, until the glory of God actually moved. It just wasn't something you got up and said was going to happen, but you knew inside of your heart that God had said that it's going to happen, and you knew just as sure as the sun's coming up in the morning that God had done the work. Am I right? Praying through. This is what the church has lost. This is why we're losing our young people to these blabber grabbers. This is why we're losing our young people to all this hype and all this psychology. They get the music faster and the intelligence slower. They get it to the place where they just have nothing but feelings. Keep them in church 7 nights a week. I want to tell you, if they're in church under the power of the Spirit 7 nights a week, they'd be out there in the middle of that school telling people about Jesus. Church changes people, if it's church. Now, brothers and sisters, hold on with me. I know the old pal's running deep tonight. I love you. I pray for you tonight. But brothers and sisters, I think that perhaps the greatest problem we've got today is that people, for the most part, have forgotten what it means to pray through. To pray through, to get on that other side, to pray through till they broke over out of the flesh and into the Spirit, and begin to worship God, and begin to request of God, and begin to let the Spirit of God make intercession inside of them. It says in Jude, in verse 20 and 21, it said, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. There's something going to happen. I ain't talking about a prayer language. I'm talking about getting down and getting real with God. If you've been mad, done something wrong, you better confess it, because the Holy Ghost ain't going to move till you do. Till you get it out and make it right, ain't never going to happen. I'm talking about getting down and getting yourself subjected to God and begin to pray until the Spirit begins to flow through you. I don't have to make that Spirit talk in tongues. It's not my gift. It's God's gift. I had a brother tell me last night. He said he's in a service not long ago and said this man at the pulpit took his hand like that and threw it out in the audience and said, you, sir, I have just given you the gift of healing. And I looked at him like that, and he said it wasn't his gift to give. And I said, you're right, brother. That's God's gift. But yet they throw them out over the television like it's candy. Just like they do this salvation. This is precious. Them gifts are operated and manifest under the administration of the Spirit of God. You'll not find anybody any further convinced that God does miracles than me. But I'll tell you something, church, it's God that does the work. It's not us. There's none of our influences make Him do it. It is humbly obeying Him and believing God. They've got faith in faith. They want to believe in how much they can believe. Think about this for a minute. Let this sink in. They've got faith in their faith. We should have faith in God, as Jesus said, and believe God. That faith is what we need, but we need faith in God, not in our faith and our power, but faith in God. Help me a minute. Praying through, when you pray through, things are so much better. You get down. You know, you get down to pray. And I've done this. I was the first young Christian. I thought, man, you have to be happy. I just thought, man, you've got to always be kicking that heat like that or doing something. I thought that, Brother Danny, I there was a time, every word I said, you just heard that. I got pneumonia, and I got so sick, I told my wife, I said, I'll die. God has to heal me. You know what? I heard her bawling and praying. That got on my heart. My dad come down to the house, and he looked at me like that. When I seen his eyes, I knew he'd been crying. And he said, son, I'd really like to put you in the doctor. That broke me like a broken stick. He took me to the doctor, and I got the doctor. That doctor said, how many years you been smoking? I looked at him, I said, you know I don't smoke. You know that I had lungs like a 98-year-old man. I couldn't smoke a lick. He said, you're just as black as you can be. There's no oxygen in your lungs. We're going to give you some oxygen, we'll give you some shots. Kept me around there an hour or so. I got better. I went home, I began to repent. I repented for having hair. I repented for everything. Just everything. I've done repented. There wasn't a grub worm that even could reach down as low as I was. And I saw in a vision a rapture. And I started crying. I said, God, am I going to die? And He showed it to me. And as I seen it, I realized it wasn't leaving. I was going. And I began to rejoice and thank God. He began to talk to me. And I was so weak, I couldn't get up out of bed. He began to talk to me. He said, the prayers I've answered is because of my grace, not because of your faith, but because of my grace. And He turned me out of charismatic that moment, and He put me back on this old Pentecost way, like old Paul and old Peter had. Whether He heals me or whether He kills me, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to live for Him. That's faith. Living every day what I believe. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up my most holy faith. Praying in that Holy Ghost. Breaking through to the Spirit of God. It's not a lay me down to sleep prayer. Most of the Pentecost church doesn't pray 5 minutes a day. How can I say that? I can say that because the Pentecost denomination said of their preachers that the average preacher's prayer was 5 minutes. I want to tell you that it's a lot longer than that to preach this message tonight. There's all kinds of things you got to touch down to break through. This is spiritual. We put carpet in our church over there, and I asked King's Carpet. I said, well, is that you can give us an estimate? He said, sure. He said, whatever you do, don't bring the 2 or 3. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we had a church come out here, brought 29 people, had to call the police. Get them out of here. I said, yeah. I said, well, we're born again, church. That won't happen. He said, well, I still love you. Just bring 2 or 3 people. They broke it. And no other people have a low image of the church. Pray through. When's the last time you prayed through? When's the last time you prayed till heaven come down and worked in your soul? Maybe what you need is to get away from the dinner table, number 3. Oh, boy. Help me, Brother James. I need something. Fasting. this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Oh, I wish I was preaching a message on miracles, but I am. Hallelujah! A miracle of life. That fasting doesn't change God's mind. He don't care if I have a banana split or not tonight, but I'll tell you, when I begin to get pushed away from that dinner table, then my flesh gets weak. I humble my soul with fasting, David said, and that power of life, as I begin to pray, overcomes that old nature, and that victory inside of me becomes greater. Those disciples had lost that power that they'd had a few days before because the oil drained out, like the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Don't you know that's the church? That's not talking about the Sunday morning goers. This is talking about everybody that comes to church every service. Half of them going to go to hell because they quit praying through. Brother Self, I tell you, it's a preacher's job to bring conviction. I failed God if I haven't brought conviction. I failed you if I've not caused the light of God to shine on your life. If you're not guilty in any of these things, you're rejoicing with me. If you're guilty in any of these things, you're either mad at me or convicted by it. But if you'll come to the altar and get it right, then you can rejoice. Let us have rejoicing rather than conviction, and let us get it right. Let's go back to the old time way where people used to push away from the dinner table, where people used to say, I'm not going to eat until I have done what I've committed to God. I've decided that I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God's face. I got saved and somebody told me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought, I don't want to get this backwards and out of order. I mean, I'm an operational man. I thought everything needs to be planned out, and I've got to get baptized in water before I get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But that shows you what I know, because old Cornelius' bunch got filled with the Holy Ghost when them Jews didn't even think they're saved. But I got myself out there and got baptized in water on December the 28th. Oh, I know you got a hold of me. I prayed that night out. I was late for work the next morning, but I didn't go to work till I could talk English. But when I was at work, I had to talk real slow to keep from talking in the Holy Ghost. He had a hold of me, church. He had a hold of me. I prayed through by the power of the Spirit. This is life. He's the Spirit of life. Jesus is the life. He is the Spirit of life. And He said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. But you gotta pray to get that channel open for rivers to come out. The more you pray under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the deeper that channel. God's got plenty of water. He needs channels. He's got plenty, plenty of Holy Ghost. He needs people. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Have you got anything to me? Somebody did. I heard a mumble. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Says this. And they were assembled together and prayed. And the place where they assembled together when they prayed was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. When you pray, the Spirit of God comes on the stage. If you pray in the Spirit of God, make all prayer and supplication by the Spirit of God. He'll pray inside of you with groanings and utterings that you cannot utter. I know there's a time when I was delivering prayed up here at Princeton, that's building some little old thing. I crawled out of the truck and He said to me, here's one that you can talk and testify to. And I went over and I began to talk to Him about what God had done for me. And here's, I mean, he had tattoos, earrings, long hair, and just, I like an apron. And I, you know, there he was. I began to tell him about it. He began to cry. When he began to cry, I realized the prayer that I prayed, that God had worked inside of me some time before, that what was going to happen. You don't know what He's doing. Just pray. Just let the Holy Ghost intercess inside of you. That young man, I thought sure he'd get saved right there. He'd come down, his boss come down on the hillside. He looked and he said, there's my foreman. Got his attention. Broke his mind off what was going on. But the Spirit sure the Lord quickened me to know that God had used me for what he's going to use me for. Brother Tommy, I don't know if he saved you, but I know this one thing for sure, that the Holy Ghost dealt with that man's heart. It's by the power of the Spirit. Brother Harris, if we don't pray, we can't be a vessel of God Almighty. It is a commandment to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to pray 24 hours a day. That means pray and don't stop praying. Don't give up, just go on. Press on by the power of the Spirit. Walk in the Holy Ghost and the fire is mine, and there ain't no devil can hold up. Ain't no devil can hold up. Oh, church. Yeah. You believe what I'm saying tonight? The Spirit of the Lord told me to fast these 3 days. And I thought, okay, you know, it is a joy to fast. And it's not a joy for the flesh. Well, on the first day of the fast, I get a phone call. He said, we'll meet you at the prayer meeting, Brother Allen. I said, okay. What prayer meeting? Because I was having one in my house. We had them at the church. What prayer meeting was on? Oh, the one up at Hartsville Watson's house. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Hartsville's got cancer real bad. He's about to die, and he's lost. And they said you were coming to prayer meeting up there. We were going to have church in his house. I said, I'll come. But I didn't know I was coming. 2 days later, my wife, I loaded up, went up there, and we were sitting there in that front room, Hartsville's arms, the biceps about this big around from that cancer, yellow as this carpet. And brothers and sisters, he got a phone call. And it was his neighbor over the mountain, just right over the top of this little knob. He said, there's a tornado coming to your house right now. You better get in the cellar. He hung up the phone. He looked, and he said, there's a tornado coming this way. It's coming right now. He said, I can see it through there. I looked down like that, and I seen that black cloud. I looked over like this, and them two sisters there, one that called me and one that come with her. And then the rest of them got caught in the storm, and they couldn't get up there. But I looked at them, I said, let's pray. And I could see him all over. He's like, you idiot, we got to run. It ain't time to pray, it's time to run. And we begin to pray. And as we was praying, the Spirit of God moved. And when we got done, I looked out, and the sun was shining so bright. And he is sitting over there. He is sitting over there looking at me. And we began to talk to him. And he got saved. I mean, he got saved. And he is a bawling and a crying. And after he got done bawling and crying, he's snubbing, and he said, when you and these ladies begin to pray, he said, I seen that tornado just bust up and disappear. He said, I ain't never been much for church. He said, but I know what you got I want. And his daughter and his wife was there, and there's over on the other side of the room as he began to testify. He said, I've never felt this good. I said, you're free from sin. He said, I know. He said, I've been an alcoholic so many years. I forgot how much he said. He said, but I don't want it no more. He said, I've been a sinner so many years, and I've talked bad about preachers in church, but I'm not going to do it no more. I've been saved. And I said, Hartsville, my brother, the bread of healing is for his children. Do you want God to heal you? He said, yes, I do. And we begin to pray. And them two, his wife and his daughter, had just prayed to be saved. And they're just a ball in their eyes out. And they just piled up on him like they'd been Christians for 50 years. Just piled up there and begin to pray. I mean, just like somebody needed something. And got done praying. I mean, the Holy Ghost was flowing. And he just had them little scrawny hands up like that. I seen him 1 month later at camp meeting in falling water. His biceps were this big around. He had thrown hay to the top of his pickup that day that he come to camp meeting. I want to tell you, church, this is a miracle working God, but it's by the Spirit. Pray through. Pray through. God do that through you if you get in the Spirit. We can live in a continual flow of this river if we'll live in the river. In the river. In the living water. What glorious peace we've got. You have people today, they've got it. You can buy a tape for just anything. I mean, It's like preachers have become salesmen rather than preachers. I remember it says in this Bible that we're the off-scouring of the world. Now we're so popular, we've got Nielsen ratings. But I want to tell you, church, anything that's popular with the world is an enemy against God. It doesn't matter how good it sounds. They've got all this nonsense. People getting saved after God's already took us home. That ain't going to happen. That door's shut.